If you have your Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We're so blessed with musical talent here at our church, from the instruments to the folks back in the sound booth and the singers and the signs, you know. She may not talk, but you can hear every word she says. And I'm thankful for that. Daniel chapter 5, starting with verse 1. I'm going to be dealing with the entire chapter, but I don't want to read all of it. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine toast before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted of the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was at Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and wives and concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and concubines, drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The title of the message this morning is Numbered, Weighed, and Rejected. Many folks know little or nothing about the Babylonians, about Belshazzar and his feast, and certainly not anything much about the handwriting on the wall. The phrase announces impending judgment. I can tell you that Belshazzar, his wives and his concubines, and 1,000 notable guests were feasting and drinking while the armies of the Medes and the Persians waited outside the city of Gate, ready to invade. The city of Babylon boasted of the fact that they had enough food and water to last at least 20 years. But the Lord said that Babylon's time had come. And the Bible says the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. I can tell you this morning that the will of God is going to be done whatever man thinks or does. It doesn't matter. These words that applied to Belshazzar applies to every generation, every person. We need to understand that we too are numbered, we're weighed, and we certainly don't want to be rejected. Belshazzar, judgment defined. Belshazzar called for a feast. Even though the enemy was outside the gate. And this was simply, I think, a microcosm of the world system that focuses in on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Seems to be what most folks are concerned about. And they're willing to follow most anybody who will entertain them and gratify their appetites. Why worry about the enemy when you have security and plenty to eat? We live in a world today that is much like the days of the flood during the times of Noah. You remember that the Bible tells us in the New Testament that As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible said they bought, they sold, they married, they gave in marriage. It was business as usual. And then the flood came. You see, they didn't realize, in fact, they just did not believe that it would ever rain. It had never rained before. Why would it rain now? And the Bible tells us that they rejected the message of Noah, but 120 years passed in 7 days, and God opened up the floodgates, and the rain did fall. And he said, as it was, so shall it be. I'm here to remind you this morning that we live during a time when people say peace and safety. All is going to continue on the way that it's always gone. But that's a lie of the devil. I'm here to tell you that things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. Amen. And if people are ever going to get right with God, they better do it now. Amen. I'm telling you that there are folks out there that plan on making heaven their home, but they don't learn from the past, and they still sit in their sins, and they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Indifference. He knew that the armies of the Medes and the Persians were encamped outside the city wall, but he was indifferent to the dangers that lurked. After all, the city was surrounded by a complex, a series of walls, some of them even 300 feet high. So they felt safe inside the walls. And we live in a world today that folks feel safe. They say, well, things are going to continue like they've always gone, and I've got money, I've got a house, I've got a good job, everything's going well, I don't have to worry. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. They had confidence, but it was a false confidence. Much like what will happen to the people of this world when God declares war. Brother, that day is coming. All you have to do is just look around today and see that our world is waxing worse and worse. And the Bible said in the last days it would get worse and worse down here. But before even the own elect would fall away, he said, I'll shorten the days, I'll come back. I believe he's shortening the days, and he's coming back. He had been warned by a dream that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had, and is found in Daniel chapter 2. And it was decreed that the head of gold, which symbolizes Babylon, would be replaced by the beast and the army of silver, which was the Medes and the Persians. Daniel further solidified this in chapter 7, when he said the Medo-Persian bear would defeat the Babylonian lion. I'm here to tell you that when God says something, you can mark it down, it's going to happen. Now, this old world is not going to last. We live in a time when people seem to think that everything is going to continue on and nothing is going to ever change. And that we'll live and we'll die and another generation will come. But the Bible said that's not true. The Bible said that there's coming a time when God says it's enough. And this whole world is getting worse and worse, and things are waxing worse and worse. The Bible says that. We need to understand that he is coming, and he's coming soon. You know, do you not know this of old, since man was placed on the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment, though his haughtiness reach up to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own refuge. I'm here to tell you that Belshazzar, he thought everything was going to be just fine. Can you imagine having a feast when the enemy was at the gate? And the Bible said that he was going to die that night. What a tragedy that a person lives their life and they reach the point when they know that they're going to die and they still stay in their sins, hardened. I don't understand. But you know, I've dealt with folks all of my ministry that realized they were lost, but they wanted to wait a while. I want to be sure. I want to wait, but I'm going to. And in most cases, they never do. I'm here to tell you that if a person is ever going to get right with God, you've got to do it in God's timing. His spirit will not always strive with man as the manner of man is. We're flesh. And after a while, God calls and he calls, and every time he calls, the heart, when you reject him, gets a little bit harder and a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And after a while, it doesn't penetrate like it used to. When do you get saved? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. You'll do it in his timing or you won't do it at all. God help us this morning. But look at the wall. I'm telling you, they were all in that banquet hall, 1,000 lords and princes, and his wives and concubines, and they were all there. They were having a big time, they thought, until all of a sudden there was a hand that appeared on that plaster wall. And it started to write. Well, the banquet hall started to get silent to where you couldn't even hear a thing. You couldn't even hear because they were troubled. And it wrote the words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And he was troubled. Can you imagine how the king his countenance must have changed? All of a sudden, that glow and that happiness and that laughter was gone, and he turned pale. He knew that hand that was writing on the wall was not good. You see, he had been told by Nebuchadnezzar, his father, that these vessels were sacred and not to defile them. But he did it anyway. And that's the way a lot of times folks do in their life. They know what the will of God is. They know they need to get saved, but they put it off and they just reject it, and they're going to do it, but they never get around to it. I'm telling you, I look in the paper every day. I've told you this a number of times. I look at the front page, the sports page, and the obituary page. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks leaving here every day. And you know, I look and I see that it's not all old folks. I see young folks leaving here. You don't know when you're going to leave, but you do know that you're going to leave. It's appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Well, Daniel was 82 years of age when he was summoned by the king. Daniel was one of the most phenomenal men that ever lived. And yet he had been ignored by the king, Belshazzar, until it came to the time when he was going to die, and it was too late. You remember, the Bible tells us about Jonah, and he went to the city of Nineveh to preach a message of impending judgment. But God was willing to forgive them. He was willing to withhold the judgment if they repented, and they did. But here, God gives no offer of forgiveness. Even though they may have cried out to God, it was too late. And you know, there comes a time when it is too late. God forbid that we would let that happen in our lives and in our friends' lives, in our family. God help us that we might realize the seriousness of what we're doing. This church is here as a lighthouse, a city that's set on a hill that folks can see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and dispel the darkness of sin. Hell is real. It's real. And life down here is brief. I've said this before, but my mama, she was 96 when she died. And I told her, I said, "Mama, I hope I have your genes." But she said, "Son, the years pass so fast. Where did they go? Where did they go? People live to be over 100 years of age, but it comes and it goes. But you know, it's not over. I won't tell you, when God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, you became a living soul, and that soul will never, ever die. You'll never die. You lay down this robe of flesh, but the real living part of you will live on. You just breathe your last here, and you breathe your next when you stand before God. Well, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, you've been weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. Daniel, he was offered wealth, but he was not concerned about that. He was concerned about doing the will of God. Humorous Ken Hubbard wants to find an optimist as a person who believes that what's going to happen will be postponed. And that's kind of what the world thinks today about judgment. But I'm telling you, everything's coming. God has it marked up on his calendar, the eternal calendar of God. He has it marked down that day, and everything is rushing headlong towards that great climactic event. We're reaching forth, and we're going to come one day to that time when the Lord says, "It's enough. It's enough." Well, the Medes and the Persians, they dammed up the Euphrates River, which ran from the north to the south, went under the gates into the city. They dammed it up and diverted it to another direction. And they went in the riverbed, and they did what was prophesied. They brought destruction to Babylon. Now the prophecies were fulfilled about ancient Babylon, but mystery Babylon is still with us. Babylon is the rebel city. Jerusalem is the holy city. Babylon is a world system, a financial system, that the Antichrist will use in order to gain power and control over the world, that the world will bow down and worship him. But just like Babylon was destroyed, mystery Babylon will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's coming a day when there's a last battle that is to be fought, that battle of good and evil, Armageddon. And God will so destroy the devil's army. And everybody will know that he is God. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee will bow. I told the story about the fellow that I worked with in California. You know, California is a little bit different, but I tried to witness to him, get him saved, and he said, "Now, preacher, I know that I'm lost. I know that I'm going to hell, but if I die this way and I don't get saved, well, I just want you to know I'm going to walk right up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to look him in the eye, and I'm going to take my punishment like a man." I said, "No, you won't. The Bible tells me what you'll do. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that he is Lord." You know, I'd much rather confess him down here and get right with him down here and know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life down here so that I can go to sleep at night and not worry about if I die before I wake, I'm going to hell. Aren't you glad to know that you can make heaven your home because you've been born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb? Well, Belshazzar, he was weighed in the balance, found wanting. He was put to death that night, this night. One of these days, the Lord will say, "It's enough." That angel will stand with one foot on dry ground, the other on the sea. With the trump of God, it will blow and cry will go out. Time will be no more. Are we ready to meet him? You know, you say, "Preacher, I don't know." You can't know. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm not ready." Then you need to get ready, and you can do that this morning. That's the good news is you don't have to go somewhere else. It doesn't cost you money. It's without money, without price. Just come and bow your knees to God and say, "Lord, I have sinned against you and I'm sorry and I want your forgiveness. Will you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior?" That's all you got to do. There are no tricks, no gimmicks. Let's bow for prayer.